your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for another segment of KER Politics. Al Cortland chatting with Dr. Charles Page. At the end of the last segment, Chuck, you talked a little bit about journaling. We talked a little bit about some of the challenges going on in society right now because of COVID. Now what I would like to talk about is a non-pharmaceutical way to deal with these challenges. And I'm not incredibly familiar, thoroughly, I guess I should say, familiar with journalizing, but I do it on a daily basis, just at the suggestion of my friends. Tell us two things. Number one, what's the most effective way to do that, and how does one start doing it? Is it just like keeping a diary, Chuck?
It's very similar. So I think, you know, everybody is going to have a little bit different twist on this. I think it's the most important thing is making a decision to do it and finding a time to do it. Like, for example, when you first get up in the morning or when you go to bed, sometimes going to bed and doing a bedtime journal, kind of processing the things that happened during your day, is very important. You know, there's a part of our brain called the hippocampus, and the hippocampus takes short-term memory and converts it into long-term memory. So when we go to sleep, your hippocampus kind of works overtime. And so as we process things during the day, and we can begin to process things people say and events that happen and things, it helps us to kind of end our day on a positive note and hopefully not embed those negative things in our mind. I'm kind of experimenting in this. I've written a study kind of about what the Bible and the scripture says about sleep, and it's called Give It to God and Go to Sleep, and it's kind of that kind of process of, at the end of the day, kind of dealing with all those things that race through our mind. So I'm doing one on sickness too, because I think there's just a lot of people now with COVID who are just, you know, they're just reeling in stress and all these emotions and just the uncertainty of the virus itself, like we were talking about in the previous segment. It's just something we can't control. And so being able to sit down and write down our thoughts and our expressions and our experiences, I just think it helps us to kind of bring to mind things, and also helps to remind us of some of the, you know, the truths and the principles that we know in life.
Tell me why that occurs when one is journaling. I first learned about journaling, interestingly enough, years ago from a woman who was a banker. And, talk about strange bedfellows, I have to say. But it strikes me that journaling would work only because you're focusing on a particular situation. But what I'm hearing you say, Chuck, is that if you journal at night, say just prior to actually going to sleep, you get your subconscious mind in as one of the actors in the play. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, think about the things that plague us as we go to bed. It's the decisions that we've made. It's the things that we didn't get done on our to-do list and all those things. I kind of take a spiritual approach to it. You know, talking about the scriptures, about how God never slumbers and sleeps, and how God's active. But, you know, there's a lot of different dynamics depending upon your worldview and depending upon how you see things. But you know, I do think it would benefit us to keep us from, you know, dealing with the majority of things that rob us of sleep, like worry and stress. You know, those kind of things.
So tell me I don't mean to break in here, but, you know, I've got a short memory. Tell me how journaling would alleviate stress for a person who had a tendency to be pretty stressful. I think I told you the story earlier in the week that my acupuncturist is just said she can't even hardly open the doors wide enough to get all the potential clients in there because so many people today are suffering from stress and anxiety. What is the principle behind how journaling would have a positive effect on something negative like stress and another negative of fear, obviously, like anxiety?
Well, I'm no psychiatrist. You know, I'm a surgeon. I failed my psychiatry rotation, by the way. But just affirming those things that happen in our lives, you know, like, for example, someone says something about us that we know is untrue, yet it, you know, the old saying about, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. People's words sometimes can really harm us. And so, you know, going back and thinking about what was said to us or whatever, and then begin to write it down and begin to verbalize that we know that that's not true. You know what I'm saying? Then sometimes it is true, and there's some things that we can learn from that. Hey, maybe there is a hint of truth in that. And begin to just kind of kind of ponder over those things, you know, and expressing our emotions, I think, is a good thing. So often, you know, I'm an emotional stuffer. I'm a surgeon. I deal with the problem, and later on I have to deal with that, you know. So, and I think we all have these stressful things that happen in our lives that sometimes when we begin to slow down, you know, they begin to surface, you know, and just begin to write down kind of how we felt about that, how we responded in that situation, and thinking about our responses, and, you know, how could I respond differently to those circumstances, you know, or maybe what were the ways that I, you know, did pretty good responding to those circumstances, and just kind of analyzing those events, analyzing those relationships and things. And then looking at our life priorities, too.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, Chuck, the one thing, this COVID situation, which has been with us being, you know, my world here in the Northwest, it's been almost 7 months that we've been in a lockdown situation. And it's gotten pretty serious in the sense that people, because of our litigious society, restaurant owners, golf clubs, et cetera, are very conscientious about adhering to the COVID guidelines, and I'm sure you know what they are. I'm not going to worry about going into that right now. But the one macro, and I use the word macro here in the sense that I would have to say the most important thing that's come out of COVID is the isolation. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't journalism, Chuck, really kind of take away some of the isolation issues? And if so, can you tell us why?
Well, so, I mean, I think there's several different aspects to that. I mean, for me, spiritually, I realize that, you know, I'm not alone because God's with me, you know?
Yeah.
But I also think that it's just a way of us beginning to process those events. I mean, yes, I mean, we do have people that feel isolated. Even in hospitals now, you know, family members are dying and, you know, the family can't always come in to see them. And so...
Right.
There is this sense of I'm alone in this and I have no control over this. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that can make us feel lonely. I think now, though, fortunately, with the Internet, although it's not a replacement for the human touch and for relationships, we have FaceTime. We have all these different things where we can connect with people now online. It's not perfect, but it is at least something we can do. And I learned that as I was dealing with patients in the hospital, is that often if I can take my cell phone and call the family and put them on FaceTime and let them talk to their family member, man, it does. I mean, it's that's one of the best medicines that we can give someone. It's just being able to connect to their loved ones. So,
I don't find that hard to believe at all. Chuck, got to take a real quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, journaling. Think about it. Any questions, ask us for next time Chuck is on the show. He'll be back certainly within the week. Thanks, Chuck.
Okay. Thanks, Al.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.